and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. First Wednesday of the month, it has been for a long time our habit, tradition, pleasure to talk about cooking and generally with the same guy, the man we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moyer is his name. He's been stopping by here every month for a long time on the first Wednesday. And he picks a topic, some particular thing to talk about, some dish, some style of cooking. We've talked about a lot of different things. And then we tell stories and talk about food and sometimes exchange recipes and encourage people who are listening to call in and also do the same. And we always have a good time when he is here. This time around, he said, why don't we talk about figs? And that seemed to be it seemed to make sense, given that is we're coming up on Christmas, and for a lot of people, that's part of their tradition. And actually, when you think about it, the fig is has been cultivated for a very long time. So there are a lot of people whose culinary traditions include figs, who are used to eating figs. So his thought was, well, why don't we talk about that, and maybe we can collect some recipes if you have one to share. You can certainly give us a call, and we'd be very happy to hear from you. 333-9455 is the number for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So any point here, you want to be involved in the show, give us a call. So what was there something in particular that got you thinking about figs?
Well, yes, there was, actually. I take a diuretic, and that reduces the potassium in one's body, and I like to pack that up as best I can. Well, I did not know. I would have kept away from figs because of the high amount of sugar, or higher amount of sugar. It really isn't that high, but it's something. But the potassium is very high. Four figs is the equivalent of a banana, which is with us potassium conscious people is a lot, and so I thought, well, what do you do? I mean, I've known figs, dried figs, all my life. I think the earliest experience I had with them was something involved with health. My mother's favorite half sister. I don't know. She was required to eat a certain combination of dried fruits ground into a paste and made into a bar, kind of like we're dealing with health bars and things like that. But this was in the middle 30s. And so it was, whether it was fashionable or whether it was just what you had to do to survive, whatever it was. Hmm. But I remember then getting figs that way. That was we were in the middle of Kansas, and there weren't a lot of figs around except the dried ones. And so I've always enjoyed them. And then we've laughed about figgy pudding. And that was an offering by one of the staff members here. Well, why don't you talk about figgy pudding? I thought, well, that's true. Remember Miss Piggy, who thought it was piggy pudding?
She would.
And she was very upset.
She thinks everything is about her.
Well, that's exactly it. Mm. Well, come on. She had leading role in Swine Lake. So, yes, you're right. I have also remembered the time that I was early on in California in the 40s to get fresh figs, because in those days that's about the only place you could get a fresh fig was right where it was grown. Mm-hmm. And it pleases me that we're able to get fresh figs even in this town at certain times. I mean, they're so rare. They are so rare. I buy the box and have them eaten before I get home, and no one ever knows I got them. It's my secret passion. Oh, another fresh fig.
Wasn't there something else that your mother sent you to the store for?
Oh, yes.
And you ate it on the way home?
Oh yes, that was the
to recall some story about
that. Was the small pear shaped tomatoes that she wanted to make a tomato preserve out of, and there wasn't a half of the box left. Oh well, come on. I've enjoyed that for a long time anyway.
Okay. Well, we have a caller.
Oh, good.
Let me go ahead and talk
Let's see what's happening in the world of figs.
All right. This is a person here on line number one in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. In one issue of Nutrition Action newsletter, they had a little box suggesting that a quick and simple dessert would be to soak dried figs in wine.
In wine, yes.
Yeah. And I tried that, and I really liked them. And then I looked up in the gourmet magazine cookbook, the big new yellow fat one.
And oh, yes. I don't have that yet.
Well, it suggested cooking the figs in a sweeter wine. I just used a dry table wine that we had. And I haven't tried this, but I would imagine you'd get faster results if you actually cooked it, and then they also used some spices. So I can imagine you can experiment, but it's tasty, and if the figs aren't really, really dry, it doesn't take very long for this to happen as it sits there soaking. I think they also, in something that I saw, cut the figs in half to make it absorb the wine.
Or even cut them in smaller dice. A lot of these are they want it to end up as a mush, you know, rather than the texture of the skin and the seeds on the inside.
Well, the first time I did it as an experiment, I just kind of kept nipping into the refrigerator and pulling out a fig and eating it.
Oh, and it rehydrated with the wine, and that would be very tasty.
Yeah, and it was a nice little special treat snack. So anyway, that's my suggestion.
Well, good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. And interestingly enough, Doyle and I both had this little book. It's one of those things that you see when you get to the checkout line in the grocery store, maybe.
Well, no, actually, you had to order this from Martha Stewart.
Oh, okay.
This is
Martha Stewart's everyday food.
Yeah, everyday food.
Well, my wife came with it someplace, and the reason that I have it is that it has some fig recipes in there, and darn it if it doesn't have recipe for figs poached in red wine.
Figs poached in red wine, yes.
And their suggestion is that it doesn't really specify what kind of wine, but they do suggest that you put in some sugar and also some orange zest.
Orange zest, yes.
And they just say to toss those things together in a saucepan and simmer it for about 45 minutes. And then here's a picture, and it does look like the figs still look like they're intact. They sort of look like what they're supposed to look like.
And they've always got that mysterious end, the stem end, you know, is very mysterious, and that would be something that I would save. I'd bite it off and I would save it, and then after I'd finished the fig, I'd pop that in my mouth and sit there and kind of num-num it around until it finally disappeared by just attrition, I guess. But that was a part. You've got to know how to eat these things.
Well, you now, and as it occurs to me now, you were also the one that had this interesting method for eating fig Newtons.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that one day.
Yes. And then adding to that, last night at midnight, Emeril Lagasse on Emeril Live, on the late show of Emeril Live, was making his Italian fig cookies. So I jumped up this morning and took them off of the internet. At midnight, I was not about to get up and do work.
You're not going to make cookies at midnight?
No.
Okay. Well, other questions or recipes are certainly welcome. That's one of the things we really like to do on the show, is to hear from people. And when we set out the particular topic, say, well, you know, have you done this? Have you cooked with figs? Is there some particular recipe that you have as good that you would like to share with other folks? Please do that. Give us a call.
One of the most traditional, I think traditional, at least it is a tradition, and it's the oldest one that I know of, is Greek, the eating of a very highly syrupy cooked tender fruit, You can buy them in jars and bottles, and figs are the are one of the great favorite ones. And that is really delicious. But that is just eaten as a snack in the afternoon with a cup of cold water. It's just a little refreshment. That is, I suppose you could have some coffee with it if that was your want.
That would be what I would do.
You would have some coffee.
A little cup of very strong coffee.
But you've been able to buy this for a long time, jars of figs in honey and some plums cooked like that in honey. And they're eaten, but they're eaten just with a spoon and you know, just nothing. You don't make anything out of them. That's it. That's what it is. The figs that we get in this country, we only get two kinds of dried figs, unless somebody's doing some elaborate bringing in of something else at other places. I don't ever get to find that. But we get the Calamurnas, which are the brown beige colored ones. Mm-hmm. And they're dried and they're often flattened and then sometimes strung on a cord. And you can either buy the cord that is loose or that can all be wrapped up in cellophane and such. And they just last and last and last. And the other kind that you can get in this country are the mission figs. They aren't as big, and they aren't quite as, I guess I have to say, tasty. They're a little bit lower on the taste scale, so that you're getting a much lighter little flavor. And those are used to cook with a lot in making some parts of pies where you would have, or maybe something you're using dried fruit in. The mission figs are handy for that. But these little Calamurnas are, I just had one this morning. on the way to work, I had a little Calamurna, and I saved the tip end a little bit. At least I'm consistent.
Well, that counts for something in this world. 333-9455 is the Champaign Urbana number here if you'd like to call in. And we do also have that, remember, do also have the toll-free line. That one is good for anyone. If it would be a long-distance call for you, you may use that number, and we will pay for the call. 800-222-9455. 333-WILL and toll-free. 800-222-WILL. Well, we've had one suggestion here from someone for from poaching them in wine, which would be dried figs, poaching them wine, which would be pretty easy and would yield something that you could just eat like that. Apparently, they suggest you could use them in salad. And I'm sure that could be used as a dessert item, say, over ice cream. Such a thing?
Yeah.
Do you have a particular recipe that you'd like to
share? I'm going to talk about pretty soon, but I see the Christmas tree.
Holy cow.
I'll say.
My back was turned, and the moment my back was turned, people started to call.
Yes.
We do have several.
I want to hear what they have to say.
Well, we'll start here with someone in Oakwood. That's line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
When we travel in Costa Rica, in the mountain area, we discovered you could buy fresh figs, and they were cut in half.
Yes.
With a ball of cheese in the middle that was sweet. And they were just out of this world, and I always look for them.
What color were they? Were they green or?
The figs were fresh, and
yes,
they were reddish in the inside and kind of tan.
Kind of tan on the outside, okay. I don't know the names of all those. There's one's called turkey, and I suppose it looks like a turkey. And then there's a green one and then a black-skinned one that you can buy fresh whenever that's possible. So you got the tan one that's probably – that sounds good.
It was just out of this world.
And they'd cut it in half and put a little ball of cheese in it.
Yes, the stem was remained on it, and so it looked a little bit like a clam shell with a pearl.
Oh, yes.
Large piece of round cheese, and it's probably a cream cheese of some sort, but it was sweetened.
So that was on the street, a street food?
Yes, vendors.
Oh, wow. What time of the year?
January.
hey, do you think if we went there now?
You could get a fresh fig.
I could get
if
a
we
fresh fig?
Now?
Oh, in Maybe. Costa Rica. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear of that. That's the kind of
but
information.
You've never heard of that or how?
Oh, no, I have not. No, I find all this stuff was very arcane and hidden. There's not a lot of information. There's some, but it's pretty limited. And that's why I thought maybe folks would have a great idea. You have just told me some experiences that I've never had. So thank you.
Well, I hope you have that experience.
Well, maybe I will. I do think that a fresh fig is something wonderful. What was that movie? A movie where the three people were running through the grass and they were eating fresh figs. Oh, a long time ago. Not a long, long time ago.
I don't know. Is this an Italian movie?
Well, it seems like it, doesn't it?
Yes, it should be.
And the word woman was in the movie title. I don't remember what it was. Somebody will remember because the eating of the fig was very sensual. And a fig, now, oh dear. A fig is a fruit. But the fruit is encased inside. See, it's really a hollow pipe. Yes, a hollow pipe. A fig is that has closed up at its end. If you look at the tail end of it, there's a hole there, and that in that hole, a little moth goes inside and flutters around and does all of the pollination, and that's how come all the seeds are on the inside of that. If you were to take it, you could turn it wrong side out. Well, you can't, but I mean, theoretically, then the seeds would be hanging on the outside. But it takes a moth to fertilize the fig so that the fruit will be realized. So, yes.
Well, thanks for sharing that story with us.
Thank you.
Yes.
I actually did just for grins. I went on the web and was sort of noodling around yesterday because I was wondering, is there any way in the world that now you could get a fresh fig? And I kind of think the answer is no.
Not today.
You can't. Not today. Because
not today.
Only in sea. And apparently they just don't travel.
They don't
all
travel
that
well. No. That's why I said you buy them in California. There's mounds of them, but we get them in six little six packs here, and for only about 2 weeks. So I do a lot of rushing around in those 2 weeks.
I think, so one of the things that I said was it's one of those things that the closer to the tree.
Yep.
You get it
in that case.
The better, yes. You know, you don't want to get it. As I guess the ideal thing would be if you could go over to the tree and pick it off. That would be the best.
Provided the moth had been there first.
Oh, that's right. All right. Let's go to Urbana, line number two.
That's me.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank
Hi.
You for the program. It's very interesting. I don't have any recipe, but we have been eating a lot of fig. I'm from Iran.
Oh, yes.
And we had fig trees in all my relatives' houses. We had figs. And then it really... The black one, I think they might have it in some parts of Iran, but this was a kind of first that green when it's not ripe, but
yes.
But it was ripe. It was a kind of beautiful golden color. And then my mother, of course, made jam. And here also, I'm sure you know that World Harvest has the fig jam.
Oh, they have, yes, World Harvest does have fig jam.
If you usually like it to eat, I don't eat butter in the morning, but I use it even on cheese, bread and cheese and fig jam.
Yes.
Very delicious.
Why, that's really, when you had the fresh figs, did you prepare them or did you just have them
fresh? No, we just have it fresh.
And have it fresh.
They went and picked it and brought it and washed it and we ate it. But of course it was very nice golden color.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was. And that was, of course, again, many, many years ago. I don't know, maybe 50 years ago when that there wasn't those pipe waters in houses. We have somebody that brought drinking water every day.
Oh, yes.
He brought, I mean, the root of that tree that we had in all my brothers and sisters' home. And he brought, I think, a stick of fig from somewhere and pushed it there in the ground and then that grow, everybody had them. It was very beautiful.
That's wonderful. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you for your program.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Now, that's the kind of story we like to hear.
You're absolutely right. I like it. Because it makes the whole... It makes the whole act of eating and food and all of that togetherness. I like that.
Yeah.
We really depend on that more than I think that we do. Depend on that kind of interaction with people, and those are wonderful memories.
Yeah, the association between food and family.
Yes. I like the guy bringing the stick,
and sticking it in the ground.
Sticking it in the ground. Hey, there's your tree.
Into a tree.
And how long ago was that? You know, when he had, because it takes some time for a tree. The fig is used in the Bible a lot. The growing of the fig and its progression.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of references in the Bible about figs.
Well, I know Harriet Williamson, one of our producers, pulled up a little information about figs. I was looking at just how long they have been cultivated, and a very long time. There apparently are more than 1,000 species of figs, and that it's been cultivated for thousands of years. As here, remnants of figs have been found in excavations of Neolithic sites traced back to at least 5,000 BC. And so they have been around for plenty. The Roman historian was aware of 29 types of fig. They've been in Europe. They were introduced into England sometime between 1525 and 1548.
Elizabeth could have had a little figgy pudding of her own.
Could be. And here in the New World, in the Americas, the first figs were planted in Mexico in 1560 and were introduced into California in 1769.
Wow.
So they've been around. People have been cultivating them and eating them for a long time. We're already at our midpoint here. This is our monthly program on cooking. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence, is here, and he said, let's talk about figs. So if you have a fig story or a fig recipe to share, 333.
Or a figment of your imagination.
Sometimes I think this program is a figment of my imagination. And one day I'll wake up and find out that all this time I've been a brilliant surgeon instead of a public radio talk show host. Let's talk next with someone in Arcola, line 4. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
I have had a fascination with figs for some time, and I ordered figs from California, and we served them at some of our holiday teas that we've been having. And also, a little bit of information I didn't get in the first of the program. They're usually ripe at the end of August, the 1st of September.
August and September, uh-huh.
Yes, yeah. And I think the trees, or at least the bush trees, are hairy and kind of stickery, and they're not very much fun to pick the figs from.
I've not experienced that, so I'm not sure.
And we have a fascination with various kinds of foods, and I've been wanting to taste the fresh figs. So for a year, I've been pursuing fresh fresh figs. But anyway, we fixed our figs we split them like the lady had talked about from
Costa Rica, yes.
Right. And we put the mascarpone cheese seasoned, or at least seasoned with the orange zest,
mm-hmm.
and a little tiny bit of orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just very well received, and everyone loved them. of course, they weren't fresh. The ones that we have are just processed. They're fresh from the processing.
Oh, I see. So
they aren't squashed, and they aren't... anyway, they're beautiful in shape. We had both the calamari and the mission.
Black mission, yes.
Yeah.
Which do you like best?
I kind of like the bigger ones.
Yeah.
I think
there's more of a flavor to them, isn't there?
There is, although some of our guests have liked the black mission fig better. So,
well, they're smaller and they're a little tastier tidbits, and they're, you can eat them more quickly and think that you're eating a lot.
Mm-hmm. But the the mascarpone cheese is a very nice compliment.
Well, that's there we have it. Cheese on top of the figs.
And we did cut them, I mean, just as it wasn't that I had any recipe, but it was just when I cut into them, they laid open like a clam shell. And so it was just a given that that's where you put the cheese. So that was wonderful.
Well, that's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm,
again, thanks. Now we've had a couple of people who have talked about combining figs and cheese.
Yes.
Sitting here
Why?
On the table.
How kind of you.
In front of us is a little something that you made and brought in.
Yes, and if I can indulge there's some people calling. I want to give you a recipe. It's very easy and very quick, and I did it, and that's what we're talking about here. This is the recipe calls it a mini fruited mustard. This was such a surprise. I just fell in love with it right away. You get a half a cup of dry mustard powder. And dry mustard powder, I know, is available at Walnut Street Tea Company, the ground powder. And I know that the powder is also at Strawberry Fields. I'm not sure of any other place. I do know that the seeds are at Strawberry Fields and at the Tea Company and at World Harvest. And at Euromart, there are the whole seeds if you want to make a bigger, grainier mustard. But this takes the dry mustard. Okay, a half a cup of dry mustard, 3/4 cup of cold water, and those are put together. And it says let them set for an hour or 4 hours would be wonderful. I did it in 20 minutes. I said, I'm sorry, you're as wet as you're going to get. I don't have time for that. And then I use the plain scraper, that new kind of scraper that you get Zest from oranges, and I put in about 2 tablespoons of shredded oranges, and then I took the dried apricots and dried figs, and I didn't have any golden raisins, but I had some dried blueberries and currants. And I did have some dried mango, so I chopped those up because you can use almost any kind of fruit. They recommend candied cherries and dried peaches and probably apples would be good in that too. But so you have the water and the mustard powder, and it's sitting there trying to rehydrate. And then you get a half a cup of white cider vinegar, but I used Oriental rice vinegar. And I put in less than a half a cup of sugar because I don't want too much sugar. And so I put it although the recipe asks for that. And so there's vinegar and sugar and the dry mustard powder and the cold water and the zest. And you bring that to a boil and let that cook a little bit. And so what you're really doing is that you're melting the sugar and you're infusing the zest into these other flavors. And then the mustard is taking over and makes a nice little it isn't very thick. Then I chopped up the apricots and the figs and the raisins. And as I say, I used mango, but whatever dried. And you want about, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 2 tablespoons of each one of those, so you'd want at least 8 tablespoons of these chopped fruits. And they're just dropped in, and you start stirring. And it boils and bubbles and stirs, and it starts getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And when it gets nice and thick, pretty good. That's it. I mean, it's down and done, and that is it. And I thought, oh, this is going to be heavy and hard and whatever it is. But I'm glad I did it, and it used figs because that's what I was looking for. Well, I brought some because as soon as I tasted it, I fell in love with it, and I said, this with a piece of Vermont cheddar cheese would be wonderful. And then I needed a platform, so I sliced one of my cranberry muffins that I had made the day before, and so that's what we have staring in front of us. So,
I've been thinking about that this now. So I would like to try this.
I think
you'll
be very surprised. Well, I brought it for you. You'll be very surprised that it is not as as tough and mustardy as, but the fruit mellows it all, and that with a good cheddar.
Okay. We, so you all can just discuss among yourselves while I'm having a little less snack.
We'll talk amongst ourselves.
I tell you what, why don't we have another caller?
Yes.
Someone listening this morning in Chicago. We'll go right there. Line number three. Hello.
How you guys doing?
Good.
We're eating.
You know, I am from Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes.
And I was raised up down there, so we had a fig tree or two.
Mm.
And my mother used to make fig preserve every year.
Oh, great. Yes.
And it was some delicious stuff. You know, like the lady was saying, it kind of brown and gone. I told a guy the other day who's from the Middle East that I said, well, I grew up with a fig tree. He said, where are you from?
And he wouldn't believe it, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't believe it. Yeah, I said, from Mississippi. Then he said, okay, that seemed logical, and it might be that. But, yeah, it was a very good, you know. And the lady said something about being hairy, but I don't remember them being picked, you know, the tree. The leaf kind of was a kind of broad leaf or something.
A big, broad, the leaf of the fig, well,
right.
the fig leaf that Adam and Eve had, I guess, was big enough. I don't recall them being stickery or hairy. I thought they were smooth, but
right, yeah, that's the way I remember.
Seems to me now. So your mother made the preserves out of the fresh figs.
Right, off the tree.
Right off the tree.
Yeah. And when I'm picking this, you know, one thing about fruit, if you're from the South anyway, I know, is that wherever there's fruit, things like berries and figs, and all, there would always be a snake. He loved it as much as you. You're going to stick your hand in it, all of a sudden you had to stop and run him away or whatever. You know? So that's my story on it.
Oh, that's very good. Well, thank you very much.
A
fig jam, fresh fig jam. That sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. So maybe that thing about the Garden of Eden, maybe that wasn't an apple at all. Maybe it was a fig.
It could. Well, you know what? You're not far from wrong, because all of that sometimes gets its names changed one way or the other, and it would be a very exotic fruit because. Everyone has called in, has talked about the speciality of the fig. It isn't just a matter of, oh, yeah, we got figs. Oh, I got a bunch of figs back here. Oh, well, we just use them when we want them. No. They're special every time, and every use is very special.
Well, and you were also talking about the sort of the sensuality of,
well,
of the thing.
They are very fecund, the fig. I mean, it's quite and it is a mystery. No, I won't get into that. I got into a discussion with a preacher one day. He was talking about he had a story from the Bible about a guy who planted a fig tree, and the fig tree wouldn't grow, didn't do anything. And so I reminded him of a Christian principle that it takes two people to do something. And as I pointed out, the reason you didn't have any figs is you didn't have the moth. And so I ended up sort of correcting the preacher, but that's all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk with somebody in Jasper County, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
All right.
I have a recipe that I got from a cookbook that I obtained in the 70s when I lived in California.
Uh-huh.
And it's called it's a book of salads, and there's a fruit salad. It says fruit salad Scheherazade, and I've used it several times at carry-in dinners and that, and I like it really well.
Does it use fresh figs or?
It doesn't. It just says dried. But
oh, dried. Okay, so then you could have that any time of the year.
Right.
Oh yes.
Want the recipe?
Yes, please.
Okay. Two large oranges.
Two large oranges.
Okay, you have to. Section them, you know.
All right, section.
Diced, no white membrane.
Mm-hmm.
One medium apple.
One apple.
Peeled, cored, and diced.
Yes.
Two bananas, peeled and diced.
Oh. Bananas, oranges, and apples, yes.
Yeah. 1/3 cup chopped pitted dates.
Dates, mm-hmm. All right.
And 2 tablespoons of finely chopped dried figs.
And 2 tablespoons of dried figs, yes.
Not very much, but...
Well, but...
It has to have figs.
You got to have figs, and you can see exactly what that is. And with all those little seeds mushing around between the oranges, apples, and bananas.
Yeah, they get very soft.
Now, what else goes on this?
You put those in a serving bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dissolve 1 tablespoon of sugar in 1 cup of freshly squeezed orange juice.
1 tablespoon of sugar, yes.
In one cup of orange juice. I always use fresh. It says freshly squeezed.
Yes.
And you mix that, and then you pour that over the fruit.
Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't
right.
it?
Cover and chill.
Uh-huh.
And you serve it sprinkled with a quarter cup chopped toasted blanched almonds.
Okay. How about some coconut?
Freshly grated coconut.
Oh, I guess it.
You
yes.
Do it.
Coconut and almonds toasted.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty good.
Did it have
what was the name of it?
It's called Fruit Salad Scheherazade.
Just Fruit Salad Scheherazade.
And it's by from a book by a woman who has an Armenian last name.
Mm-hmm.
Uvezian, Sonia Uvezian. The Book of Salads. I've never seen it anywhere else.
Fruit Salad Scheherazade.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Enjoy it.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
We are about getting into about our last 15 minutes of the program.
Well, we better hurry.
Doyle Moore is with us, and we're talking about figs. This is the first Wednesday of the month, and for a long time we've talked about cooking on this day. Always pick some subject and talk about it and exchange stories. I do want to mention we have someone listening this morning who was hearing our conversation about references to the fig going back a long way and the fact that there are references in the Bible to the fig. And here a listener also wants us to know that the fig is also mentioned in the Quran, and as a matter of fact, in chapter 95, which is called The Fig.
Mm.
And the first verse of the chapter is, by the fig and the olive. So, many references to figs.
As I say, it maintains a symbolic relationship to humanity.
Well, and I think also somewhere, something that I read said that this notion that figs are sacred and were thought to be an early symbol of peace and prosperity is an idea that goes back a long, long
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what, you know, why I suppose in some places that in the wintertime you don't have a lot of stuff, so you make use of dried fruits, but maybe that's also why. It seems that then in a lot of traditions there's this association between figs and some kind of celebration, that it's also a special kind of a thing that you're not going to have it all the time. But that on special occasions, we're going to do something.
That's what I was meaning. That you don't just have them lying around. You have them for special. Even though you do have a supply, they're brought out for special occasions, and they commemorate significant things, and then they become memorable.
Yeah. Well, let's talk with someone in Urbana, line 2. Hello. Is there a caller there? Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Doyle, at the fig eating scene you were talking about in a movie, that's a woman in love.
Woman in love.
D.H. Lawrence novel.
Yes.
Character's Armani. I don't remember that anymore.
that's what it was. They were running through the grass and eating figs.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was, Woman in Love.
And as I remember, the whole thing turned out very badly.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks.
Have you decided to practice that, or are you just going to do something else?
Practice what?
Eating figs and rushing through the grass.
Oh, yeah. or through the snow.
Not through the snow. Don't do it today. Don't do it today. Well, thank you for calling.
Right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I think we're going to have to wait for July before we're going to be able to eat figs and run through the grass. No time soon. Sullivan is next, line 4. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
We have grown figs for about 15 years or maybe more. Got the start from a friend that said his grandfather brought it from Italy.
Uh-huh.
And I describe it as looking like a lilac bush.
Well, they are about that big around. Now, you grow them here in Illinois?
I can hardly hear you.
You grow them here in Illinois?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have for 15 or more years.
And they don't freeze out in the winter?
We have to lean them over and stack things on them and leaves and straw and like that.
I see, but they've maintained them for 15 years.
They're not at all hard to get started. We've given away an awful lot of starch.
Oh, I had no idea that we could grow them here. I know that they do grow down in the southern part of Indiana, down by the river, where it's a little warmer. But I had no idea you could grow a fig up in this part of the country.
We give figs to lots of people anyway. We get to pick them by a gallon or so at a time.
Oh, my. Now, when is this? Is this August and September?
Uh-huh.
As somebody had said that you can get them. Oh, that is good.
But we just eat them fresh.
Any special? You just eat them fresh, well?
Yeah. Just hold on to the place where they grow on.
That's right. Right.
I call it the stem.
That's it.
There's
that's
no seeds or anything, and you just eat it like that.
Munch away. A fresh fig, there's a perfume and another sense of that the dried fig doesn't have. There is that strange aura that's around you while you're eating that fig. It's very exotic, I'm telling you. I love it.
When we have an oversupply, I put some in the freezer just like they are anyway.
Oh.
We love them like that too.
And when they thaw out, do you then cook them or do you
we just eat them like you would an apple.
I see. So it would be just thawed out and you know what? I'm going to try freezing some next August. I can hardly wait now. I had no idea you could freeze a fig.
Anyway, they're really interesting. Well, I think I've enjoyed your program.
Well, that was good. Thank you very much.
All right. I wouldn't have thought you could get them through the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it sounds like she said if you baby them and make sure that you shelter them.
Yeah.
It sounds like they know the right way to do it. They've been
doing it. Well, the kings of France knew how to have oranges. they kept them in their orangery, you know. So I guess you could develop a figgery as well.
All right, let's go to the next caller, and that would be Champagne in line 3.
And that's me now.
Yes.
Talking about growing figs, I come from Virginia, and my father and I were sightseeing, and we went to Robert E. Lee's childhood home.
Oh, yes.
And they were pruning the figs. So my dad, who was not a bit reticent about asking for things, said, can I have some of those cuttings? So we took them back to Arlington,
uh-huh.
and he grew them for years there, and every winter he put enormous oak leaves piles on top of them. But we had figs forever, and then I took some of those to Atlanta, you didn't have to do that. But
oh, yes.
They grew fine. But you can get the plants at Danville Gardens here.
Oh, yes, I see.
Yeah, they had them over at the farmer's market this fall. And you have to bring them in, they said, but you could have probably laid them to the ground like my dad did and completely covered them.
And cover them with oak leaves.
Yeah, and the only people I knew that liked them really well green, I mean right off the vine,
yes.
was my father and a Greek friend we had that he just thought they were the best thing since white bread. So,
oh, that's good.
But yes. I remember being there that time, I guess I was about 10, and my dad getting those things and taking them home, and they're very easily rooted. So
apparently so, because the lady who spoke of the helper just brought peace and stuck it in the ground for them and said, there it is.
Yeah, sort of like, you know, a weeping willow or something.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've enjoyed the program.
Well, thank you.
Well, again, thank you. A lot of good stories this morning.
I'll say. Pleases me very much.
And we'll keep going. And next, talk to someone in Stewardson. And this is line 1. Hello.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to mention the fig tree. It drops its leaves and makes a mess, and your neighbors complain and say, oh, why don't you cut down that dead tree? And then after a few, about a month, then you can go take them a fresh fig that you took off the tree. Because the only thing that's on the tree are the little figs coming up off the tree. Then it gets its leaves.
Oh, yes.
So that's the wonderful thing. You don't have to hunt for the fruit. It's right there.
It's right there for you to see it, and it's not hidden. How long does it take a fig? Now, there must be some sort of a bloom. There really isn't. It's that.
It's just a nubbin.
It's that capsule that the moth flies into, and that's really
just
the flower.
It's a little nub.
Yeah,
it comes up on the top. And then it just keeps getting bigger. Then it's ripe, and then you eat it.
And then
right
you
up
eat it. That yeah. is so good.
But I also wanted to tell you, you don't just have to have sweet things. You can roast them fresh with, you know, with a little olive oil and garlic, and then serve them something
Ooh.
With something like roast lamb or roast pork too. They're good savory too.
Oh, that
when you use the fresh ones that aren't sweetened.
I like that.
Yeah.
Garlic and a fresh fig grilled on the Barbie right next to the.
Oh well, I have no. I was thinking. Oh no, I've roasted them in a pan.
In a pan.
Yeah, with just a little dripping of olive oil. But yeah, grilled. That'd be
well
good
because
too.
You see, I wanted to do that little rack of lamb.
Yeah.
And have them cooking on the side.
Yeah, that would be good on the grill. You could probably do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. Thank you.
Uh huh. All
okay,
right.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Let's go talk with someone in Aurora. This is line number two. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
And season's greetings to all there.
Oh, thank well, you. We're all here.
Yes, delightfully so also. I wanted to say that when I lived on the East Coast, you could get figs every place. And I've just begun to see them here. And I just think they're great. I always have. They're such a nice thing to eat. They don't make a mess or anything.
No, they don't. You can eat them all. Yeah, eat
yeah.
all of them.
I also wanted to say this is changing something, but for Thanksgiving, my granddaughter made, she took a date and wrapped bacon around it.
Uh-huh.
And those were our hors d'oeuvres. And I thought it was a wonderful idea. I don't know if you could do that with dates, but she did it with...
No, you mean with figs.
With, yeah. I don't know if you can do it with figs, but she did it with dates.
I'll bet you could. I'll bet that would really be good because the bacon would protect it, but it would also infuse it with some of that bacon taste. And we were just talking about a grilled fig, so a bacon taste would not be too foreign to a fig. I think that sounds like worth doing.
It sounds like a good try.
Yes, it does.
Bye bye.
Okay, thank you.
I kind of think that maybe some Italian people would do that with figs and prosciutto.
I think figs and prosciutto is a fresh figs and prosciutto.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
I think so. What does Mr. Escoffier say?
It's not cooperating with me. Well, in any case, here we have a couple minutes left. Somebody was interested in getting in on the conversation. You can give us a call 333-9455 and. Toll free 800-222-9455. Was there maybe another recipe you thought you might
well,
want?
Well, I don't know that there's anything that I have to say. This I did bring a recipe for figgy pudding, but I just say it's so complex but look it up because that is the whole purpose. The Christmas Eve you can have a Christmas Eve compote of prunes. And figs, but somewhere I thought I had. Oh, there's pudding, fig pudding. Let me see what this is. My old standby book. Didn't stand by. It's not on page 15. Well, I don't know. I'm. EF, get back here to figs again. 151, silly. 151, not 15. 151. There is fig pudding. You have to have a, in order to do this, you have to have a pudding basin, which is a deep container that you put a mass of fruit and flour and baking powder and suet, a lot of suet, and eggs and milk. And so you make a pudding and then you steam that, but it'll take about 2.5 to 3 hours to steam the pudding, and it would then it inverts and you turn it out and it would be done. You might, if you're interested, look in the Good Cook that early Time Life Good Cook series in fruits, and there are several pictures in there of the fig pudding. I've made other steam puddings, but I gave them up because they were too hard. I made a lot when I was in England. A steam pudding is a thing to have, and but I find them too time consuming.
Now, we're almost at the point where we have to finish here, but I want to mention this because this is something Harriet came across. This is a recipe that she got from something called inthekitchenonline.com, and it's a recipe for the figgy pudding. But the thing about this is that it does not require suet.
Oh.
And so if you want to do this, see, I don't know where these days one would go to buy suet. I know we feed it to birds. We put those feeders up
under
the birds. But if you didn't want to do that, it's a recipe that does not require the suet. And the contributor here said it keeps well, it's light and fluffy, and it's delicious. So if you want that, you can go to www.inthekitchenonline.com. And it's a recipe for English pudding, and I'm sure that you could find that recipe if you want to try it out.
Oh, I will.
All right. Well, we're going to have to stop as we are here at the end.
Afraid
will you
so.
Be here? Will we see you next month?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh, yes. The reason I didn't think I was going to be here, and now you know why I am here, is that the roads froze up between Kansas and Colorado and Wyoming.
Oh, so yeah. You wouldn't be out there driving.
I didn't go.
Okay.
I did not go.
Well, Doyle Moore is the man we like to call our chef in residence every month. First Wednesday, he's here. We always talk about cooking and have a good time. If you send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, we will send you whatever recipes we got from this morning's program. The show is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant with homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, cards, and gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, The Buzz Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, and Any Frequency Music Store, all located on West Washington Street in Monticello. The broadcast also made possible with support from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. We're going to take a break. When we return, we'll be talking with historian Sean Wilentz from Princeton about his new book, The Rise of American Democracy. First, though, we'll break for news and an update on the market. Stay tuned.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the markets from the Chicago Board of Trade and Kansas City, where we see all across the pits a bearish tone.